Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another Sports Injury Central podcast, Pro Football Doc here with Jacob and Taylor. We're exiting week six, headed towards week seven. Monday night game still to come, Cowboys at Chargers. Or is it Chargers at Cowboys based on fans?
That's an you know the answer.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. Lots to talk about this week. Lots to talk about this week. Lots of different things. And it might be week of the quarterback, huh? A lot of quarterback issues.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anything. Maybe outside the first one, not any huge IR issues. But let's start with Justin Fields, everyone's fantasy darling. Chicago Bears are always a topic in the NFL, especially with the tankathon going on or not going on, depending who you ask. But Justin Fields, kind of an odd one. It started with wrist and then it became hand, and now we finally have the answer: thumb dislocation. Start with, what are the different types of thumb dislocations? Is there a better one for a quarterback? Is there a worse one for a quarterback? And what one does he have?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, you really think about it, if we count up all the quarterbacks now, whereas we're exiting week six, you have Anthony Richardson, you have Deshaun Watson, right? And then of course this week there's like four or five of them.
Yep.
Right? And well, I'm sure we'll cover them all. So that's quite a number already of quarterbacks. And our numbers show about half of the league mm-hmm. lose their starting quarterback, at least for a period of time, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing, over half.
We had 18 of 32 last year, I think it was. So, yeah.
And so, yeah, a little mm-hmm. bit over that, mm-hmm. over that, depending on how you look at it. So Justin Fields, let's talk about it. By video, we didn't think there was any fracture the way that he fell. It wasn't going to be a scaphoid fracture, but then he sort of jammed into the turf and then rolled over on it, right? And didn't see the rest of it. But we did catch a picture, and we'll show it here, of the thumb out of place. And some might think here that this is an injury to the what we call IP joint, the towards the tip of the thumb, but it's more at the base. And it's the offset of the tendons that make that tip look different. Because it's more at the base and a dislocation. Good, he got it reduced. And the best piece of news, there's no associated fracture. And if there was an associated fracture, it might continue to be unstable and definitely require surgery. But when you dislocate any joint, that's one's not connected to the other. You cannot dislocate it without significant tears to the capsule and or ligament. Not to be grotesque, but going back to Nick Chubb, it was completely ridiculous for some to say it was just an MCL. If you look at that video again and avert your eyes here, if you don't want to see it,
right.
This is not just an MCL. And then later on, the Browns did give the full story. Complete medial capsule and MCL and ACL. And this is why we said knee dislocation. Well, this is a thumb dislocation. And so there are definitely tears of what's going on. Now, the best case scenario is no fracture, which seems to be the case, but there's still ligaments torn. And there's still a chance that Justin Fields could need surgery. But right now, Matt Eberflus, Bears head coach, is saying doubtful this next week. We're saying out this next week and likely beyond. I think a great outcome for the Bears is to somehow avoid injured reserve, avoid 4 weeks. That would be a great outcome. The problem is, if you can't grip it, you can't spin it, right? The only thing on the one side is your thumb, quote, the opposable thumb, you know, kind of thing. You can't grip it, you can't spin it. If you remember Drew Brees a few years ago, tore his ulnar collateral ligament, and we were here in the war room like, oh, and that's surgery. And everyone's like, no, 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 when he couldn't pick up the ball. And then when surgery was announced, they went the other way. Oh, his year is done. We said, no, 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 right. 6 weeks, he'll be back. And he was. Now, I'm not saying this is exactly the same, the Drew Brees one and the Justin Fields. That was a pure ligament. This is a dislocation. Hopefully, it was what we call an anterior posterior dislocation. Those are the ones that don't need surgery. But here's the thing. You still have to be able to grip. And you really can't splint it in a way where you can grip and throw the ball effectively. So
not the Tom Brady pounds of tape on his hand.
Yeah. Tom Brady was a little bit unusual, right? And look, here's the other difference too. Tom Brady, even if he doesn't practice, you're going to let him play and figure it out. Justin right. Fields, I don't know, right? I mean, bottom line is the news is heading towards the quote good side of a dislocation. We have him out this week. We think it's likely multi-week. A best case is to avoid injured reserve and to avoid surgery. But it's significant to dislocate your thumb, obviously, on the throwing hand because of the need to grip and to be able to spin it. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, Bears have had some bad injury luck. In the running back room, Khalil Herbert on IR, Roschon Johnson in concussion. So he missed last week. Hopefully he can clear this week. So they were down to Dante Foreman. Matchup against the Raiders. So it goes to our next QB question. Jimmy G went to the hospital after taking a hit kind of to the side. They labeled it back doubtful, and then he was out because he went to the hospital. But it seems like it was what you saw in the war room, Doc, that they were taking him to the hospital for precautionary scans, ruling out internal injury. So what are we looking for going forward on him?
I think there's a good chance that he could play. It's scary when you say he went to the hospital, okay? But looking at the hit, remember what we always say is judge the injury, not the reaction to the injury.
Right.
And the injury, in terms of the hit, didn't see that as overly traumatic and thought he could have a chance to return. Obviously, better safe than sorry. Check out some internal organ damage, whether it was CT scan or other special testing, kidneys or otherwise. So far, the tests are good. Quote, dodged a bullet. And that's good to hear. But here's the other contextual clue. You start to hear going to the hospital and you say, uh-oh, it's terrible. But the one reporter, and I forget who it was, said that she was in the tunnel and they happened to see.
Just happened to see him, yeah.
Jimmy G getting into an ambulance. Not being wheeled into an ambulance. Right. Walking and getting into the ambulance. So why would you need an ambulance?
Heidi Fang from the Review Journal Las Vegas saw. Yeah.
Right. And yeah. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying positive. She gave an accurate report.
Right.
There's just different context there. You use an ambulance. Why? I'll tell you a funny. It's like a glorified taxi. You know, there's a lot of security. When the ambulance is there, they'll move the barricades and let you out. I mean, right. What are you going to do? Bring Jimmy G over in a regular car? I mean, we did have a story once, and it probably is a future podcast guest, so I can't say who, and we'll talk about it on the podcast.
Yes.
We'll tease it. Had a guy once that we decided needed to go to the hospital to get a CT scan on his chest, lungs, kind of deal, but he was in no distress and was doing fine. And I said, all right, let's get him over there. And they said, well, you want to use the ambulance? I said, well, we can, but he finished the football game,
right?
And he's not in any distress. Let's just, you know, have one of the team doctors drive him over there and we'll grease the wheels on getting him through the ER rather than making all this scene with the ambulance and the whole deal.
Yeah.
And scaring people. And he turned out to be okay, by the way. But anyways, so here's the joke. I finish up all my post-game exam duties and I get there and I'm like calling my doctor, going, where are you? I'm like, yeah. We're not there yet. So what do you mean? How did I finish up all the exams and beat you here? Well, there was traffic and they routed us up the hill and this, that, the other down. And I'm like, you couldn't talk your way through? He goes, well, I didn't have my NFL card ID with me. Or this. I was like, you have a player sitting in the NFL car. Athlete, yeah. You know, how did we beat you here? I mean,
should have took the ambulance, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. That was my lesson. Should have took the ambulance.
No one asked questions when you're in the ambulance.
Yeah, no one asked questions.
Civilians in a car.
I do have a question on this, just on the CAT scan. It might be dumb. I'm getting triggers in my brain. It may be a dumb question. Why wouldn't they put CAT scans in the stadiums? is that it's eliminating that trip.
Why don't they put MRI scans in stadiums?
Only a couple of them do. So is it not a lot to take an MRI and a CAT scan together? Is that not feasible?
Well, it depends on what you're doing it for, okay. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
you're not just ordering tests to order tests. I mean, truly in stadium.
Yeah.
The Bengals are the only one that has
yes.
truly in right. stadium, on the stadium parking lot and other things, mm-hmm. but truly inside the stadium where you don't need to, you know, you literally can take the stretcher or whatever and go. And I utilized it one time.
Yeah.
Look, but that MRI, even in the stadium, people, you know, say, oh, it's the Bengals and they're not the big money team. Why don't the Cowboys have an MRI right. and all this other stuff? That MRI in the Cincinnati stadium is open to the public 7 days, well, 6.5 days a week, yeah. just not on game day. Sundays. I mean, it's a business that happens to be housed
in the stadium.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Kind of thing. You know, MRIs are not inexpensive. And so you can't just have I guess in the NFL you could do whatever you wanted, but
right.
It's expensive to just have an MRI. And quite honestly, if someone really needs an MRI, they're ruled out of the game. I mean, just yeah. by exam.
It's not urgent to get them an MRI and get them back in. Yeah.
Now, in our case in Cincinnati, what it did is avoided a trip to the hospital for the guy.
That's
right?
what I would think maybe, but I guess that's a little bit to like just put a big, and that's like a money thing or, you know.
I mean, how many CT scans in a year do you really do?
Yeah.
I mean, X-rays are required to be in the stadium, but if you really need the CT scan or whatever, you're really not going to, I mean, look, you had to have some clinical symptoms to send Jimmy G. You're really going to, oh, the MRI's fine. Let's put him back in the game. I mean,
yeah.
Or the CT scan. So
Dallas has an MRI. They're one of two. It is Dallas and Cincinnati. Dallas must have added it. Yeah.
They didn't have it when I was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. but, you know, is it truly in the stadium? I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't have it when I was there. I mean,
just wrapping up Jimmy G. Hectic in the war room, especially like 7-8 games in the morning, but I always take it as a semi good sign in my head when you're asking, is that the hit? Is that the only hit? Is there other hits? Because
like, is that it?
Yeah. Yeah. Not like, is that it? He's not tough.
He but should like play nothing through, traumatic, but like, yeah, nothing traumatic. Yeah.
Is that is all the context that there is for the situation going on?
Yes. I think that's correct. And I would never say, you know, I have the utmost respect for football players and what they go through. But I mean, sidebar, you know, Damian Harris last night is like, that's good that they're taking him off on the ambulance, the whole thing, and now it's good news in the whole thing. But
you didn't see anything traumatic.
I didn't see anything that would say, uh-oh, there's significant worry here.
Yeah.
I mean, not to jump around, but I was a lot more worried about Leighton Vander Esch the week before
right.
than I was about Damian Harris.
With the pass next stuff he has, yeah.
The mechanism of injury. Just like we weren't really worried about another quarterback that we didn't mention, right. Daniel Jones. We weren't really worried about Daniel Jones, and I think he plays this week after missing last week with that neck injury that initially was described as feels like it did in 2021 when it ended a season. We're
right.
It's not the same mechanism. It's not the same video injury analysis. You can't equate them all. And I think Daniel Jones is headed towards playing this week. And maybe he'll come off the couch this week to play. No, just joking. He was at the game.
Metaphorically, yeah.
Now, credit Justin Pugh. He was figuring out at left tackle after they're down to third string. So they signed him last week.
And off the couch to play a different position.
The couch
as well.
To play a position you never played.
I saw something this morning
in college
that he's already selling T-shirts straight off the couch.
Off the couch, Pugh. That's what they call him.
Well, you need this little now, burner thing to make those.
My question is, did he have the T-shirts planned?
Yes.
You
I want to say,
so?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, you prepare to say that, right? And it's already been taped as well, so
well,
he had time.
I guess, I like to go. Okay, sure, it's taped before, right? They tape it on Saturday.
Do you even know anything about that? I was just thinking about that. Where do they get that? Like, just right before the game, or is there media?
Oh
like,
no! This is what I was saying. You don't listen very well.
I don't. You know that.
This is why I'm not sure Tom Brady will ever call Fox games for the NFL.
Because it's like 72 hours of prep.
I mean, the norm is you get there on Friday, and Friday is your day/afternoon to meet with the home team.
Okay.
And you talk to the coaches, the coordinators, they provide you the quarterback or the main players. And this is where you get your insights and different things. And sometimes they do tell you some secrets of what they're going to do under the honor that you're not going to reveal it to the other side, but it helps your broadcast kind of.
Right.
There's a lot of homework that these guys do. They don't show up Sunday an hour before the game and roll,
yeah.
memorize some numbers or get a cheat sheet
the and pronunciation roll. Of the names. You said they take a long time so too, as well.
The home team will tape all that stuff on Friday at the facility.
Okay.
Because the crew's there and the you know, the main broadcasters who are there are there, et cetera. The sideline reporter's there, the producer's there, you know, kind of deal. And then Saturday is for the visiting team in the afternoon, usually after the walkthrough in the morning, and it's at the team hotel. And that's where they get all this stuff. So it's a lot of prep work. So yeah, he did it ahead of time, but I'm not trying to sidetrack on Tom Brady. It's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, does he want to do that? I mean, he retired from football because of kids and life and whatever. Maybe he doesn't want to. And it's also a harder job than you think to be critical of people without people getting people mad at you and whatever. And Tom does a great job on his podcast.
Yeah. That's a good podcast. Yeah.
But he's very buttoned up on the podcast.
Yeah. He's not himself. Yeah. Not himself. Yeah. You can tell that. Right. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, ask our guy Lonnie Paxson, his good friend. I mean, Tom's a fun guy. He's buttoned up when he's on his podcast. Mm-hmm. And what's he going to be like? Like, Tony Romo just is a regular guy and lets it fly, right? And so it comes through.
So you're not paying for the buttoned up Tom Brady on.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to go, but I don't know if he's going to want.
A lot of people would want that. Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to do that.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he would get good money, but he's got good money. I mean, whatever. Not to get off track, but. Sure. I guess I already
we
did.
We always are good. Sorry. Yeah.
My bigger thing isn't, oh my gosh, what an unbelievable deal Justin Pugh to come off the couch. Remember, he did it before, right? What was the situation? I don't remember the situation. I think he did it before. Someone did it. Who did it before?
Jared Verheer, the guy from
was the guy who,
good call.
Packers or whatever.
Yes.
Anyways, straight off the couch is amazing. Okay. Straight off the couch. And then going back to left tackle, Ross Tucker was doing the radio broadcast, Westwood One. And he was talking about the guy's only had 100 or some snaps, none since, 2015.
Right.
Hopefully, Ross, I'm quoting you correctly, to go back to tackle when that's not been his predominant position. To come off the couch and play guard is hard enough. To come off the couch and play left tackle in the NFL is unbelievable. I agree. But my takeaway from that is, and it's really cool. It's a great phrase, straight off the couch. And, you know, I'm sure the Sunday Night Football NBC let it go because they chuckled and they knew it was going to be a good part of the broadcast, what guys say. Now, his straight off the couch, usually they give you like a second and a half. He got 2.5 or 3 seconds or whatever. But anyways, it was good. My point is, how bad is the Giants offensive line in terms of injuries to need someone to come off the couch, and that person is now your starter
in a position you never played.
and then immediately the next guy up at left tackle.
Right.
So how short are the Giants at offensive line? That to me was what that was telling you. How injury ravaged are they? I mean, look, nobody comes into the season, I'm one injury away from calling a guy off the couch.
That means you are making, you're in trouble.
That means you are in capital T trouble, right? To have to go to that extreme. That's my takeaway from the Giants in their situation. As fantastic it is for Justin Pugh, it's like they're in trouble. And they you know, they played a nice game and good for them.
Well, that Josh Ezadu, I believe I'm saying, he was already the second string. So like you said, you were bringing Pugh off to be third string guard and tackle. Yeah. And that's
Andrew
where
Thomas
got,
said that lingering hamstring, tried to play through, didn't do it effectively. So he was inactive for the game. And then
so not only are you on left tackle three, you're on left tackle three, who wasn't even on your roster last week. But that also means you're on what, left guard four? I don't know. I mean, how deep did you have to go to call someone in off the couch? And then you then move that guy over and then someone's got to move back in behind you? So the guy who's playing at left guard was not as good as Justin Pugh off the couch? I mean, that is a lot. I mean, hats off.
So
to
their
the
left
Giants.
Their left guard is very good. Their center was out that game as well. So the one of the guards moved to center, so that push, you know, deeper in the left guard situation.
And there is O-line shuffle, right?
And the backup right tackle was out, so they didn't have any swing stuff. So that became Pugh. It might have been the guy that was before Pugh. So
that's a lot of shuffle, and you know, you'd be amazed at just even to know the line calls. Okay, yes. It's easy enough to. I mean, right? That's part of it. You identify the mic linebacker and which way the line calls go, and you have to work in unison. Mm-hmm. So honestly, the Giants did a great job considering all the shuffle. I mean, they were in the game, right? I mean,
I'll stick with that game. Josh Allen came out with the right shoulder injury from that game. He had some KT tape in the presser. Any concerns going forward, Doc? I think we saw the plays. He stayed in, came out for a concussion check, but his numbers were pretty much the same before and after. Two rushes after for 11 yards. He had that nice touchdown throw across his body too late.
He's got a very strong arm.
Yes.
Is he hurting? 100%. I mean, but it's football. It's a collision sport. Is he sore? Yeah. Could he go a little bit of LP this week? Yeah. Is he going to be icing it? And you know, they already did a scan, right, or something on it. And
he looked
don't see any structural damage.
He's got the SPAC tape sticking out a little bit under his shirt. Yeah. Normal, right?
As I say, you don't have a medical staff of up to 10 people for the four injuries that show up on an injury report. Okay. So they're treating a lot more things
that aren't there. Yeah.
But I think he's fine. And then go look at this video here where he steps to the aid of one of his offensive linemen, and he leads with what? His right shoulder. Mm-hmm. And this is what, a quarter or more after?
Yes.
This is the second half. His other stuff happened in the first half. You're not worried about his shoulder there. So I don't think there's much of a concern. I don't think we're going to get a surprise Deshaun Watson situation. And I'm sure we'll get to that one too.
That's where I'm going next. So let's stick right there.
Transition. All right.
He usually doesn't read the rundown. We're doing good this time.
You think I read it this time?
No, I was just trying to give you some credit.
Broken clocks twice a day. My main question with Deshaun Watson is what changes in a week? Is a week four, what are they calling it? Deep rotator cuff contusion. Hard to throw the ball deep down the field. He had the bye. Now this is the second straight week he's missed. What changes going into week 7?
Well, I'm going to call this little segment clean up on aisle 4. Obviously, pun on Deshaun Watson's number. There is a lot to clean up here. What is there to clean up? Initially, in week 3, after there were some limited practices for Deshaun, we went and looked and we said, oh, that third quarter hit to the outside of his shoulder, that is a shoulder contusion like they announced. And that's what we thought. That's a deltoid contusion he's going to play through. And then week 4, he warms up and says he couldn't play through. And of course, we got a lot of grief. I got a lot of grief. Oh, you're wrong. You said he would play.
You can never be wrong, Doc. You know that.
I was wrong. He didn't play. Okay. But we don't delete tweets. I was wrong. He didn't play. I thought he would play. Based on the information we have, we're not in the building. Look, if I examine a player and I was wrong, I feel really, really bad. We're looking at video.
Right. You don't have the records in front of you.
We say we're 95% accurate. This is clearly one that we were wrong. He couldn't go. But then the head coach said he was cleared to play. And then we find out DTR, the rookie, found out right before the game that he was the starter.
At 10:30,
Which meant the team itself was surprised. So don't get mad at me if I got it wrong from the outside. The people inside the building were surprised.
There's other stuff going on. Yeah.
And I don't know what happened there. Then Andrew Berry came back and said, well, it was a joint decision. Look, I am not being critical of anyone in the Browns organization. I'm not being critical of Deshaun Watson or calling him soft and not playing. I am not being critical of the medical staff in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying there seems to be some disconnect. And anytime you see something that doesn't fully make sense outside the building, it usually does once you know all the facts inside. The question is, what are all the facts? So was everyone just surprised and the Deshaun Watson just decided that he couldn't go, and they said, okay, we got to move on, and everyone in the building is mad. Don't know. That's a lot of supposition. Did medical somehow miss the significance of this? Don't know. Okay. Did Deshaun Watson mislead them? Not purposely, but saying, you know, I think I'm fine. No, I don't want an MRI. No, I'm fine. I know I'm going to be fine. And then comes the curveball on the morning of. Was there, and it seems like they didn't give the kid any practice reps, the rookie.
Because they were right first in. Team reps for Watson all week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't throwing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a lot to figure out here. Then he goes on a bye week, and the assumption was the bye week would take care of it. But as soon as he came back and there was word that he may not be practicing, right? Because they started practice on Monday, the official injury report didn't come Wednesday. By Tuesday, we're saying, take San Francisco minus -5. We don't think Deshaun Watson is going to play. Now, in the end, it didn't matter. Yeah. Cleveland won outright. But if you did 5 and then 9.5, you had a good middle, and then you know, whatever. But that's a whole different story. It was great. You don't get line movement like that. So we were right on that.
Absolutely.
But why did we say that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to play? If you have a shoulder contusion that leaks from week 3 into week 4, past the week 5 bye into the start of week 6, that starts to be like, wait a minute. And we went back and looked at video, and thanks to you guys, you found second quarter video. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it was that third quarter play, even though the Browns later in the week cited that third quarter play of a direct shoulder contusion. The second quarter, where he got a concussion check, he falls on his right shoulder. That is more consistent with what now has been reported as a subscap contusion, the way that he fell. So a subscap tendon, part of the rotator cuff.
So at the back of the shoulder, kind of?
That's the front.
Fell outstretched, but it hurts the front of the shoulder.
By stretching the front.
Yes.
And yeah, that can affect your throwing motion. What I don't understand is if something was to that affected, I mean, did it get worse and surprise people?
Yeah, finish the game.
Yeah, like why can't he throw like 5 or 6 times of practice and be like, oh, wait, he can't throw this week. We need to bring DTR in.
Right, and prepare more. Right, so there's some disconnect there, and I don't know where it falls, but something, this is where I say cleanup, you know, we're still looking for that.
Right.
Now but I do firmly believe, think about this. So in preparation for week 4, he was limited practice. In preparation for week 6, he was DNP.
Yep.
What does that tell you? Did it get worse, or did they decide we can't go into the game unprepared? We need to give all the snaps to PJ Walker to give him a fighting chance.
You think Walker would have started for DTR if they would have prepared better, or that was just they went to the second guy in that, because Walker's the third, so you know they had to.
Well, I mean, I obviously they didn't love what
they saw.
I guess I'm
mad. You didn't even give me any practice, and you don't like what you saw.
And then you have a game filled of what you saw. Yeah, it sucks for the kid, right?
Yeah.
Life's tough as a rookie.
It may suck for him. It's not a fair chance, but,
right?
But in some ways, it's not the worst thing for him. Look, he looked really good in the preseason, but that's vanilla defenses.
So did Aiden McConnell. So did Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, this is that's why I don't like rookies.
Yeah.
it's look, I'm not. You know, this is even before yesterday. You know, I'm not. Oh my God, Brock Purdy is the best in the world, guy either. Although he's done very well, right? Just because of the young QB factor. But in any case. It's not the worst thing for him to sit and learn a little more here, right? Yeah. PJ Walker at least has more experience. He didn't play that well, but he's a winning quarterback.
He's a game manager. He figured it out. Yeah.
The bottom line is this. Not sure where it's going to go with Deshaun Watson. A suspicion. I don't know. I think the team knew they were not going to play him all week. I think they knew. Now, are you going to say they knew because they're mad? You can't do it to us again. I'm not saying that.
Or they know actually what's going on, and they can.
Or they knew what's going on, whatever, because they clearly said DNP, right? And definition of LP is Deshaun Watson goes out there and hands the ball off. Well, he did heading into week 4. Why couldn't he heading into week 6? So clearly they had made the internal decision, I believe, to start someone other than Deshaun Watson. Not as I'm mad at Deshaun Watson or we don't trust him, but just, hey, maybe he got an injection and they said, we need some rest to treat the swelling right there, maybe. Right? Whether it's PRP or cortisol. Maybe, I don't know. That's just conjecture. There's a lot that happens inside a building. And this week, it remains to be seen. But I do think that there's a chance that Deshaun Watson can play this week based on the injury, because we're heading into week 7. It was a week 3 injury. So now we're looking at 4 weeks, especially if he got some treatment, this, that, the other, there's a chance. Where it's going to sit is, look, what do the Browns need to make a decision on? What do we need to see out of him early this week to have confidence that he'll make it, so that we make him the starter and give him the reps? You know, are we comfortable having Deshaun Watson being the starting quarterback if he can't throw this week and we're just going to roll the dice on Sunday? Or how much do we need to see out of him? My guess is, as much as controversy that there has been, I think he's got a good chance.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Chance to try and play through this week.
Does he need an injection to play, you were saying?
No, okay. This injection, if he had it, was for treatment,
the PRP,
not
so
for numbing. Can't numb a rotator cuff,
okay,
where you shouldn't to play. So there's a lot of cleanup and conjecture here, cleanup on aisle 4, and I think we'll hear more this week. Right now, I think the Browns head coach didn't say much day to day and moved on from it. You know, stuff will start leaking out in terms of if it's going to be Deshaun this week. But I think he has a chance. We'll have to see how the week develops. And this is one where I think looking at practice reports will be helpful. What's interesting yet is that the cleanup, some of the cleanup's going to have to come from Deshaun. He hasn't spoken to the media yet as to what really happened.
Right.
Someone else also asked me on another show. I said, well, isn't it possible that Deshaun Watson was cleared to play by the team doctors, but his own doctors didn't clear him to play? I said, I suppose it's possible, but I don't buy that for one second. Why? If his own doctors had said, you can't play, it doesn't fit the narrative of him saying that he didn't feel like he could throw or be effective. It doesn't fit that narrative. And if the head coach is lying, which I'm not saying he is,
right,
and if indeed you had your own doctor said no, where's your agent? One phone call to Schefter, Rap Sheet, or anyone would have it blasted out there, would have controlled the story. It says, well, Deshaun Watson's personal doctors that he saw during the bye week said that he couldn't play, right? That would have been out really fast. Yeah.
It's not his choice not to play. It's the team. He's following his own doctor's advice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the cleanup of that, right? And that didn't really happen. So I don't see that as a realistic possibility.
Do all players have, it's like a team doctor, personal doctor, like a family doctor, and then, like, what do you mean by personal doctor? Like,
well, you know.
Because I would just be using a team doctor. I don't know. Like, but I guess that's.
Well, personal doctor, it's not going to be your family doctor. They don't, offense. Yeah, they know a lot about a lot, but.
A little about a lot, yeah.
You said that, not me.
But you go to your agent and he has a list of specialists that he's worked with before? Or is
Sure. And, you know, and look, every city has local second opinion doctors. And there's also a bye week. You could have flown anywhere to see someone if he was concerned and what have you. When you say personal doctor, just one of his choosing, you're always entitled to second opinion. You shouldn't be insulted. And here's the other thing that hasn't been cleaned up yet. Did he ever get an MRI after that week 3 injury?
Right.
I don't know that they've really ever said. Now, I would imagine by now they have one because he was missing time. But week 3 injury, as we're heading to week 4, did he ever get an MRI then? I don't know. This is what I mean, clean up aisle 4. There's a lot to clean up here that we'll figure out over time once Deshaun Watson speaks here and gives the story. Like I said, I expect the story to make sense, and it's not going to be something nefarious, like, oh, someone blew it or someone refused to play or something. Yeah. There's an explanation coming.
Well, let's get to our last quarterback injury. Just want to remind people, Sick Insights is where you can get all the latest info on fantasy players, Deshaun Watson, quarterbacks, as well as offensive linemen. We don't rule them out. Key defensive players, too. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence got some coach speak for you, Doc. I like this one this week. Doug Peterson talking today. They play Thursday against the Saints. Trevor Lawrence had the little knee tweak late in the game. By video, you didn't see anything too bad. He said there's some bruising. So Doug Peterson today said Trevor Lawrence and Brandon Scherff, the left guard, correct?
Right guard.
Had an ankle. So he said they're both day-to-day. He was pressed to say what the MRI showed, and he said that's the trainer's jurisdiction. And pressed to say if they're playing Thursday, he said day-to-day.
Trainer's jurisdiction. I've never heard that one before.
Oh, sure. You can say that. But here's a classic thing. That's the trainer's jurisdiction. But then they don't make the trainer available to speak to
you. So you know it's not going to come out. Yeah, that's a smart. Yeah.
He doesn't need to say. No? I mean, no, it's not a requirement to say. And, you know, they just go by the injury reports. And day-to-day, I mean, that's fine. By video, and we already put out some video in-game and from the war room, I don't think it's significant on Trevor Lawrence. And even with the short week, I think he has a chance to play through. It's his left knee, front leg. Yeah, he can move around some, but he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Anthony Richardson. He's not making his living with his feet. He's making his living with his arm. And with that, and his foot was off the ground. Remember, who was it that everyone was like, oh, this is horrible, the Gator roll last year?
Oh, it was a couple years ago. Chris Carson. We brought it up Chris on the podcast. Carson. Yeah, it was a Dallas Cowboys defensive lineman, Tristan Hill.
Yeah, and that looked bad.
Don't know the best.
And
sorry.
Chris Carson played the next week at running back. This one didn't look as bad, and he's a quarterback. So I actually have reasonable confidence.
I have a question on this. If they did play Sunday, is it 100% that he'd play? Like, I know Thursday is probably why it's so iffy, right? Sunday, you would have no issues.
I know I carny trick you all the time. It's not magic, right?
Yeah,
right?
I know, exactly.
And I love how people go all the time, well, they play Monday, so he's got an extra day.
Yeah, that extra day of what?
Is it really like that? Razor, I mean,
the healing powers of Monday.
Yes,
I like that a lot.
Extra day,
You know, went through that with Saquon when he got ruled out Thursday. Oh, but next week he plays on Monday with the extra day.
One extra day to get the ankle better.
Yeah. He missed his 3 weeks, like we said. Yeah. Anyways,
we've seen even with concussions that a Thursday concussion doesn't necessarily clear for the following week. It's not that three extra days means your symptoms are better in those 3 days.
Not so always, right?
It's always,
But I still have optimism that Trevor Lawrence will play.
Getting to two key fantasy running backs, maybe splitting hairs of what the difference between oblique and ribs are, but CMC had an oblique. They labeled it oblique / ribs in the post-game interview. And then David Montgomery looked like he landed on the ball, came out with injured ribs, and he's reportedly expected to miss this week, I think, for David Montgomery.
I was just touching my ribs to make sure, like, the it's kind of there. Pretty sure.
I think the oblique for running backs kind of new. I don't know that we've seen that a lot this year. It's more quarterbacks and wide receivers can hinder their motion. So what did we see on CMC?
Well, certainly oblique, you know, twisting, et cetera, and the oblique muscles do attach at the ribs and the rib cartilage junction, et cetera. And David Montgomery, on the other hand, fell on the ball, and that may be more rib cartilage.
It's like the front part of your ribs rather than the
soft
side.
Cartilage. Mm-hmm. And
rib cartilage hurts more, right?
It just hurts more, and it is harder to inject than a single rib area in terms of intercostal nerve block. And we've covered here where not everyone wants to do that nowadays, and I understand. And no, I did not. I'm not responsible for Justin Herbert's rise in career with the Tyrod.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me. That was in L.A. I was only in San Diego. But anyways.
Is an oblique something you can inject for Christian McCaffrey?
If it's an insertion of the oblique, yes. If it's the oblique muscle, it's harder. You saw him getting adjusted and moving and stretched. I wouldn't rule CMC out this next week.
They do play Monday, so the healing.
Oh, the extra day will do it. Yeah, he's in. He's in.
You're funny.
He's in. No, just kidding.
Against Minnesota. Yeah. Two key offensive lineman injuries I want to talk about too. Trent Williams and Lane Johnson. Trent Williams, by video, we saw a high ankle sprain. Lane Johnson's announced as lateral ankle sprain. I think his component was also consistent with mild high ankle as well. So how difficult is it for a lineman to play through? I think we saw Trent Williams kind of getting pushed back quite a bit. I don't know if that was just Cleveland's dominant defensive line or part of the injury.
I'm more worried about Trent Williams than I am about Debo and CMC. I mean, he's an anchor on that team, and that's hats off to him that he even returned to the game. That was a clearly a high ankle sprain, something he had last year as well.
He's a fighter, yeah.
It's inside foot, and he didn't look the same. Mm-mm. That did not look like Pro Bowler Trent Williams. Nope. He had the use check and Kittle there chipping a lot of the game, and even then he didn't look very good. He did not look himself at all.
And that's the inside right leg.
So inside harder, not power leg, right. Yeah. Right high ankle. That to me is more concerning than Debo and CMC. Not that they're not great for fantasy guys, of course, Debo and CMC, but for the team, I think the more concerning injury for the 49ers is Trent Williams. Lane Johnson did look like a low lateral inversion ankle sprain to me on the video. And I'm not going to question Lane Johnson. He's tough. I mean, he plays through a lot of stuff. He played through the core stuff last year.
In his last ankle injury, he literally played until his leg collapsed. So he had to need surgery on the other ankle. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hopeful that he can return sooner than later. But he's obviously key for the Eagles as well.
Yeah, it's a big game, Miami and the Eagles on Sunday night. So all eyes on that and their status going forward. Get some early injury edges. Injury edge is something you can get in your inbox delivered Saturday morning. It's their one-stop shop for all your injury edge. Get the key matchup advantages. We do our scores on the back end. That's how we do our picks, our props and sides and all that stuff. So you see which side has the positive delta as well. That's kind of how we judge things. So the key one is Las Vegas at Chicago. We talked about the two quarterbacks are going to swing that a bit. Might be Aiden O'Connell versus Tyson Bagent.
Why are you saying Brian Hoyer?
It's interesting that they went to Hoyer against the Patriots. Went right to Hoyer. No consideration of Aiden O'Connell. So,
but let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Jimmy G was coming off his concussion, and he didn't get a lot of practice the week before.
Right.
So they said, Jimmy, you get all the reps. Let me just explain it. If your backup QBs haven't gotten the reps, you playing Aiden O'Connell or Brian Hoyer?
I'm playing Hoyer. No reps needed.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's what that was about. That's not lack of confidence.
When Aiden started, it was because, like you said, he had the whole week.
He had a week of practice, and he was promising, so let's go with him.
Yeah.
But if it's emergency usage, you want Hoyer, don't you? Hoyer didn't have the reps. He's a veteran, he's been in Josh McDaniels' system longer and the whole deal. So, yeah, that made sense to me. And if they're trying to go with Aiden O'Connell, Jimmy can't go this week, it's because, okay, now we feel a little better if we give him all the reps and so forth during the week.
So if you see like a DNP on Wednesday for Jimmy G, you would assume maybe it's more Aiden because they're starting to slowly trickle that through, or
– let's see how Jimmy G does.
I still think he can play.
But I think if I don't see how you play Aiden O'Connell without three good days of practice
for a rookie. Yeah.
I wanted it to be Josh McDaniels just sticking it to Belichick. See, I'm using both your quarterbacks.
That's what I want the answer to be. I just wanted to say like, hey, he was sticking it to Belichick, but no. Yeah.
You think there's any bad blood there?
No, I think that's good blood. I think they left good. I think like you said, he said no to the Colts because Belichick said, hey, I'll give you some secrets.
I don't think there's bad blood there. Yeah, I don't think there's any sticking it to anybody.
Jacoby Myers or his blood because they gave the $33 million that they were supposed to him to Juju Smith-Schuster. So I guess maybe there is more bad blood there than McDaniels. But
yeah. But I'm thinking
GM bad blood though.
Yeah.
I'll promise you this. Jimmy G has a much bigger chance of playing than Justin Fields.
That's good.
Yeah. One
went to the hospital and one didn't. So that's interesting.
Bada boop. Yep.
Derek Carr went to the hospital
and played the next week.
Didn't play very well.
Former Raider. Yeah. There you
didn't
go.
Play very well, but that's where that is. And then the injury edge is interesting. Like we were in the room here in the war room, and one of our big things this week is this last week, week six, is Carolina Panthers. Both safeties, DB issues. Oh my gosh, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. What's going to happen? They should boat race them, right? And that's what our injury stuff said. And it started out 14-0 the other way.
Boat race another side, yeah.
But that was just first quarter. That's why I was saying, you know what? Don't get nervous on this. Now that they're 14-0 and even more likely to throw, you know.
Take advantage of that. Yeah.
Take advantage of that. And then even then, Mostert got a ton. That was one of our other good calls because safety's got to play a big shell. There's no eight men in the box. They're pure seven, and at most in the box and mm-hmm. play back. And, you know, the you're not going to get a lot of run support there from the safeties. They're, right. they're worried about the speedsters and what have you. And so Mostert got a ton, and obviously the Dolphins came back, and that one,
it was -2.5 live after the 14-0 start for Carolina.
We weren't saying that, oh, Miami's the greatest show on grass, and you know, we like Miami.
Nothing changed.
We were saying the Panthers have injury issues in the secondary. That's what we were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another matchup we're looking at: Pittsburgh at the Rams. Pittsburgh coming off the bye, maybe they get Deontay Johnson back. I think Pat Freiermuth already said he's playing. Kenny Pickett week better off the MCL, and then the Rams kind of have a negative delta for the running back situation. Kyron Williams picked up an ankle. Seems like they're talking about maybe he misses this week. Ronnie Rivers, the backup, had a PCL by video.
And they traded Cam Akers.
And traded Cam Akers, so they'd be down to 4, which would be Zach Evans.
Correct? Yes, it will. Yes.
Cooper Kupp, minor aggravation of that ankle. He came back, had 1 million yards and a touchdown. Garrett Wilson also re-aggravated ankle. He's on a bye, so that shouldn't be an issue into week 8. But let's get to our good call, bad call real quick.
Well, how about those Jets? They're 3-3 at the bye, and they had a gauntlet of a schedule. If you look at their schedule from the get-go,
that's what Salah was saying. They play a lot of good quarterbacks.
They had so in the first 6 games, they beat Buffalo and they beat the Eagles.
That's
right. I mean,
don't roll them out.
And they played with the Chiefs a little bit.
And Aaron Rodgers is back.
He's back without crutches, so that's
a significant delta. He's throwing the ball even though the Achilles is on the leg too, which is interesting. He's able to throw the ball well. Sorry.
I mean, trying to bait you here.
I know. But Ala, you know how we have fun with stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got so much crap from people. Like we said, Aaron Rodgers, Achilles in game. And then when it basically was confirmed, he said, that's too bad, but it's not impossible that he can return to play this year. And I got so much grief. Like, you're crazy. He's 39, 40 years old. The Jets won't ever be. I said, look, you got to thread the needle. The Jets got to make the playoffs. Zach Wilson's got to get him there. Aaron Rodgers got to make a good recovery. And then if Zach Wilson is really healthy and gets him there, you probably stay with Zach Wilson. But Zach Wilson either doesn't play well and they ride the defense there, or he gets hurt. That does open up a potential door for Aaron Rodgers. But let me tell you something. Watch him walk and stuff. He's not close to playing yet. I mean, it's still months from now, right?
Right.
This is not even into a week-to-week situation yet for Aaron Rodgers. The risk of re-rupture, I don't care what sort of speed bridge that you have. And once again, that's a technique that's, I don't know, 15 years old. It's not revolutionary. It does allow you out of a splint a little more quickly, but it doesn't speed up biology, and that's what you're looking at.
So he is out of the boot and stuff like
you. Well, the boot. Yeah. I'm not sure he didn't have a little insert AFO to protect him there. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit surprised that they allowed him on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. I mean, what if the wash comes at you and you take a step back or you do something quickly that you're not supposed to, and then it repops? Oh my gosh, the world would end, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I thought, oh, it was interesting that he was down there, right?
No, nothing. Knowing nothing about medicine too, I feel like stepping into throws isn't the issue. It's dropping back and backpedaling
at a quick pace. Easier. Look, front foot, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, does Aaron Rodgers need to step into throws?
No. He's pretty good at touch throws. I mean,
And he has this interesting quick release motion, right? Yes, like it's all arm. Like from a seated chair, he could throw the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I wonder what his fastball velocity is. Yeah. Sticking with the Jets, kind of an interesting one that developed late in the week. Sauce Gardner ruled out with a concussion. I think on the injury report, he was illness leading up to Saturday, and then it became concussion and ruled out. And then he tweeted that, oh, the crazy part is I feel fine. So I know we're Carney tricking you, Doc, that we don't have a lot of info outside of that. But that is obviously a good siding with precaution that if he had even minor symptoms that they ruled him out, didn't let him play. But
I mean, was it illness? Was it dizziness that he was feeling? I don't know. I
lightheadedness.
Mean, lightheadedness. Anything. Illness.
There was nothing on Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday was DNP. So it was, interesting.
So they have a bye. So not a huge story for this week, but is maybe a positive sign that the concussion protocol is working right, that he reported symptoms and then precautionary rule out. So even if he's feeling fine, don't risk it.
And they got the win.
Yeah. Now I was going to say, what's more impressive, being 3-3 or losing your three being without your three top cornerbacks and picking off Hurts three times.
You're just coached well. I don't know what it is. Like they still had three picks or
three picks.
Yeah, it's mind boggling.
The defense is good.
Yeah. Quentin Williams had one of the picks, so the D-lineman got one. He didn't cornerbacks, yeah.
Even with those three picks, A.J. Brown hit his prop. We had the over 69.5, finished with 7 catches, 131, with those three cornerbacks out. So that was directly led into that.
No, I think it was the shoes.
Got to be
shoes. You could see him easier with the pink shoes. That's totally accurate, yeah.
Got our bad call of the week, probably our bad beat of the week. I know Taylor wants me to call it that.
Yeah, Doc, I don't agree with this. So
Sam LaPorta had the calf. He was questionable all the way up to game time. We handpicked the 18 under 18 and a half longest reception. First catch of the game, 19 yards.
Like first play, basically. First, right?
Yeah, it was like the second play. Yeah.
Finished 4 catches, 36. So any other way you hit it, unders would have helped. But
And he was targeted like a ton of times.
11 targets. Yeah,
11 targets for net 36 yards. 11 targets for 36. So it was at 3.2 yards a target, but he gets 19 on the first one.
It was the third pass of the game for Goff.
I want to say like 15 air yards in that one too. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's just based on didn't think he'd be that explosive in movement.
He wasn't. It's just that was the half yard off. Yeah.
Sometimes a good number.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. We'll take that. I'd say overall the analysis wasn't terrible. This is why, what do I always say? The ball's not round. You get a funny bounce. Yeah. Things happen. I mean, who would have saw the Jets beating the Eagles like that? And who would have saw the 49ers losing to a former XFL quarterback, right? I mean,
wild weekend NFL.
That's why they play the game. What do they say?
Beast of the week, I got Davante Adams for you. Seems like he gets up from more big hits than anybody I've seen recently. Got the hospital ball this week, got lit up, and it led to a pick. Comes right back in the game. Did that earlier this week or this year against the Bills, and then I think 2021 was the one that he missed just one play after looking like a sure concussion.
Yeah, and that was supposedly wind, right?
It was
Green Bay.
Yes,
yeah. Cover that. But that's one of the ones where I said, you know, there should be medicals to talk to a pool reporter and explain why it was wind and why he got back so quickly. But that's another thing. There was a lot of talk this weekend about how quick Josh Allen returned and how quick someone else returned. Like the screenings can be pretty quick in that blue tent. You know, it's 5 questions. And if they don't see visual evidence and it's not a full exam, it's a screening.
You have to go 5 for 5. You can't just get, sorry. 5 for 5. Kids trying to get 3 for 5. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you have to be 5 for 5 and no other suspicion, and the independent has to agree. But that can be done pretty quickly within a couple plays. I think Josh was only at 2 plays or something.
It was one, yeah.
And anyways, you're required to sit out the one. But my Davante Adams has taken some hits, and you see it here and then so forth. But I might go back to just because – it's football and we've done it. I might vote for Beast of the Week, Josh Allen, who's been dumped on his shoulder twice. Rumored to have, quote, injured the shoulder. But look at him here in the third quarter. We talked about it. His old lineman is getting pushed. And how often do you see a QB come in and aggressively protect
his old lineman?
Leading with that right shoulder that people say are hurt, right? And he came in hard. So that's just maybe for the unusualness. Yep. Davante Adams has made it routine to look at the hits he takes. So I'll give it to him too. But Josh Allen, I don't remember I've seen quarterbacks come in yelling and screaming kind of thing, but
not leading with the shoulder.
He came in hard, right?
Actions speak louder than words.
This was not, I'm puffing my chest out and I know everyone's going to come to my rescue. This is, I'm taking the contact right here. I'm going to go flying in for my O-lineman there. So for that unusual nature, and I guess maybe I'm partial to quarterbacks. We made Justin Herbert the beast of the week with a hit he took. Yeah. This is one was for a hit delivered by Josh Allen here to the aid of his offensive lineman. So I think I'd prefer to give it to Josh Allen this week on a, quote, hurt shoulder, leading with that shoulder, coming in hard, not posturing, hey, push, and waiting for people to come to your aid. He was
the first one there.
He was handling business by himself. I mean, he saw it, and he just went jumping in. So I'll say it's Josh Allen this week.
I'll give you that, Doc.
All right. Well, thanks for watching. Lots of things, Sick Insights, Injury Edge stuff. Go to the website. We keep rolling along. Season's going fast. How do you think this week is going to work for us? Disney cruise.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be exciting.
I'll apologize to everybody here. Look, yes. Got to do the Disney cruise because it's out of San Diego. It's just too easy. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, who's six, has never been on a Disney cruise. The other two that are turning 11 have been on two of them.
Oh, really? Davison. Oh, so
yeah. Got to fix that power imbalance in the siblings.
Not long cruises. We just do the little short things. Yeah. We don't even get off the ship.
How long is it? Like a weekend? Or
I'll be back Sunday morning in the war room.
Oh, so just
here.
A couple days. Yeah.
And Thursday, I think we have to check in. But we'll be in San Diego Bay with internet for the Thursday night game, for the Trevor Lawrence play game. Mm-hmm. Ship's hell have internet, yes, whatever. Yeah. Got to do it for the family and so forth. I mean, I got too many kids, man. Yesterday I don't know if you saw that Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes.
Yes, your little thing.
It was actually really fun. Yeah. I mean, this party thing. I'm not trying to go Taylor Swift and whatever.
I almost got through a podcast without mentioning it.
55 minutes.
Oh, I mentioned it earlier. You just didn't catch it.
We don't listen, you know.
The bad blood.
Yes, I heard the bad blood.
No.
It goes over my head sometimes.
No, it was really good because it was the Taylor Swift movie, and it was actually filmed at SoFi, and that's one of the, I don't know if it's the exact concert. They probably stitched it together, but Dylan was at that concert, the 10-year-old that's turning 11 that loves Taylor Swift.
Oh, so she could relate to it. Yeah.
And if you look at the Twitter timeline, the little one, the 6-year-old, was done. And I thought the movie theater did a great job.
Yeah.
They have a little stage and this huge screen, but all the kids were like, went up on stage and basically jumped around and danced the whole time instead of in their seat. So, yeah. I mean, in some ways, it was probably a pretty fun little concert experience without the crowds, with easy bathrooms and plenty of room.
Too. Wallet's okay, too. Wallet's okay after, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, she did have like 18 people.
Yeah. You rented the movie theater out? Or
No. Let's not go there.
No Travis Kelce stuff, yeah.
This is, no, this is...
Yep.
The closest thing I am to Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift is I'm wearing red right there now. That's about it. Okay. Yeah. It's not. We did not rent out the movie theater. Yeah. But there were like 18 girls there and this, that, the other. But that's still cheaper than one Taylor Swift ticket.
Sure.
Massively cheaper.
For sure. Anyways, thanks for listening, watching Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. More to come this week. And apologies about the Disney cruise, but got to do it for the family.
It makes sense.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.